Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty at the news desk at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Donegal County Council's Fisheries Committee was told this morning that the loss of a fishing vessel off the Donegal coast will have devastating economic consequences for the owner and crew. Post-Brexit checks on goods moving between Britain and Northern Ireland are to end. Deputy Thomas Pringle has said that Gardaí and court resources are wasted on charges of drug personal possession. And a Midlands Northwest MEP is calling on the EU to commit to the delivery of humanitarian aid and continue its support of the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Oisin Kelly will also be joining us at around 5:15 for all the latest in sport. First up in news, Donegal County Council's Fisheries Committee was told this morning that the loss of a fishing vessel off the Donegal coast will have devastating economic consequences for the owner and crew. Four people were on board the 12-metre boat at the time it ran aground after it got into difficulty off the Inishman Island. The Rescue Coordination Centre at Malin Head received a distress call at about 6 a.m. and all on board were brought to safety by the Sligo-based R118 rescue helicopter with the help of the Arranmore all-weather lifeboat and Bunbeg Coast Guard unit. Chairperson of the Fisheries Committee, Councillor Niamh Kennedy, says people don't realise the realities faced by fishermen at sea.
Thankfully, he's right. It was an awful shock to hear that this morning at the Fisheries Committee meeting. I didn't know what Gerry Early was going to say to us at that stage. It was it's pretty bleak, but it really brings home the real issues that fishermen are facing on a daily basis, and that it's quite taken for granted when there's a fish put onto your plate. Like people don't even think of the hazards and where and how that got on your plate and how it got here.
Post-Brexit checks on goods moving between Britain and Northern Ireland are to end. Proposed legislation will also see EU law no longer automatically applying in Northern Ireland. Sean O'Regan reports.
The paper published by the British government this afternoon is titled Safeguarding the Union and outlines new arrangements around the movement of goods between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. It includes the replacement of the Green Lane, which currently requires a percentage of goods to be checked, with a UK internal market system, which will govern the movement of goods staying in the UK. It states the UK's Withdrawal Act will also be amended, so EU law will no longer automatically apply in the north, and it's understood Brussels has been kept in the loop. The DUP pulled the plug on power sharing at Stormont almost 2 years ago in protest against post-Brexit trade arrangements. This deal hopes to alleviate that, as Northern Ireland Secretary Chris Heaton-Harris explains.
The result is a deal that, taken as a whole, is the right one for Northern Ireland and for the Union. With this package, it's now time for elected representatives in Northern Ireland to come together to end the 2 years of impasse and start work again in the interests of the people who elected them.
Sinn Féin's Michelle O'Neill says she's ready to take on the challenge of becoming First Minister.
I welcome the fact that we're going to have an executive up and running, and I am absolutely up for the task of leading that executive, to work with all the executive parties around that table. We have a list as long as your arm of things that we need to do.
DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson, meanwhile, has said the deal will restore and safeguard Northern Ireland's place in the Union.
It's expected a People Before Profit bill, which would decriminalise cannabis for personal use, will be deferred for 9 months. The Dáil debated the bill this morning, but the government said it needs to assess last week's Citizens' Assembly report. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle said when looking at Portugal, the decriminalisation of drugs seen a decrease in drug-related deaths. He then told the Dáil that Gardaí and court resources are wasted on charges of personal possession.
Treating the possession of this as an offence is nonsensical and frankly ridiculous, and I believe that the majority of the public would agree as well. Not only this, but the criminalisation of people who are in possession of a small amount of cannabis is a massive waste of Garda time, especially during what we are told is a Garda shortage. Reports over the last few months indicate that the declining Garda numbers have caused Gardaí to struggle to keep up with policing demands, including 999 calls. One Garda member told the Irish Times recently that although Gardaí had complained for years about a shortage of Garda vehicles, they now don't have enough Gardaí to drive the vehicles. It doesn't make sense when the Gardaí are forced to waste their time on the possession of cannabis for personal use, while at the same time struggling to keep up with emergency calls. It is also a complete waste of time for the courts, which are also struggling to deal with a backlog of thousands of court summonses. 70% of all drug offences were for personal possession in 2022, contributing massively to the clog-up of our justice system and to the straining Garda resources. It is clear that our priorities are completely wrong here and that our justice system is wasting its resources on people who are not causing any harm or danger. The Citizens' Assembly on Drugs has recommended the decriminalisation of certain drugs, including cannabis, as part of a move to look at drugs under a health-led approach as opposed to a criminal justice approach. I believe that the Citizens' Assembly wasted a major opportunity to draw on many important resources and international expertise, but still they came to this conclusion that cannabis should be decriminalised. So why then is the government dragging its heels on this?
A €125 million mortgage interest tax relief scheme is opened from today. The one-off scheme can be accessed through Revenue's online My Account service. Jimmy O'Hara has the details.
The relief is 20% of the increased interest paid last year compared to 2022, up to a limit of €1,250. It's available to homeowners compliant with local property tax with an outstanding balance on their main home of between €80,000 and €500,000 on the very last day of 2022. Around 208,000 mortgages are eligible, and PAYE workers can submit a claim for the relief by filing an income tax return for 2023. The scheme will be opened to self-assessed taxpayers in mid-February.
However, Sinn Féin say the relief should have come sooner and should have been applied at source. Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty says his party initially proposed the idea.
When mortgage interest relief used to exist here, before it was deducted at source, and therefore everybody who was entitled to it could access it. And we're concerned that many families may not actually make the return and therefore wouldn't get the relief in the first instance. So we'd encourage people to tap into the relief, but we're disappointed that the government has taken a very good proposal from Sinn Féin and excluded tens of thousands of families. The government have basically said anybody who had a mortgage balance of less than €80,000 will be exempt and can't access the scheme. I think that is deeply regrettable. Some of those people in that category will have seen their mortgage interest rate rise more than people who will be eligible for the scheme. And I think it was a wrong choice by the minister to proceed in that way.
Midlands Northwest MEP is calling on the EU to commit to the delivery of humanitarian aid and continue its support of the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees. Chris McManus has labelled other countries' suspension of the funding of the UNRWA as shameful and unconscionable. He says it's important the EU stands up and provides support.
News we've heard over the last number of days that countries like US and Britain and Germany and Italy are going to suspend funding to the United Nations Relief Works Agency is very regrettable and quite shameful, actually. The people are in the midst of a humanitarian crisis, which is unparalleled to anything we've seen this century. As a member of the European Parliament's delegation to Palestine, I think it's incumbent on the EU to step up and commit itself to UNRWA. As I've said, it's what we've seen is a decision that's extremely politicised, it's disproportionate, it's unjustified, and it really amounts to a collective punishment on the people of Gaza. I'm pleased to see that countries like Norway and Ireland have agreed they will continue their support for UNRWA in this regards. I think Ireland hopefully will now take the next step. I know there's a Sinn Féin motion in front of the Dáil this coming week about Ireland joining the International Court of Justice's case against Israel, and I think that would be a very welcome development.
And how much scope does the European Parliament have in ensuring countries do provide support?
The European Parliament and the EU can only deal with its own operational funding in this regards. Obviously, I think it's important, and I think the stance of the European Parliament to date regarding what's happening in Gaza is being very much regrettable. The actions of the EU Commissioner Ursula von der Leyen trying to say she speaks on behalf of the European Union have been very much damaging to the EU's credibility and reputation in this regard. So the European Parliament needs to start stepping up.
12,132 patients were awaiting beds in Irish hospitals at some point this month, with Letterkenny University Hospital the fourth most overcrowded and Sligo University Hospital the fifth most overcrowded. There were 709 patients awaiting bed at some point in Letterkenny and 701 in Sligo. The Letterkenny figure was 9% up on the same month last year, but 13% down on January 2022, when 817 patients were waiting, the highest figure ever recorded for January. The Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation says the provision of safe care is compromised at hospitals around the country and is calling on the HSE to agree on a realistic workforce plan which provides sufficient staff to be employed to provide safe care. 91% of those who pledged accommodation to Ukrainian refugees have had a positive experience. According to the groups responsible for hosting the process, the model should now be extended. Sheila Nocton reports.
Only 2% who've pledged accommodation to those fleeing the war in Ukraine have said they wouldn't recommend it. Today, representatives from groups overseeing the process presented research to politicians, showing the majority of hosts had a positive experience. Angie Goff, CEO of Helping Irish Hosts, says this paves the way to extend the accommodation recognition payment to other refugee groups.
We think it's time now to extend that to other cohorts, to people who have been granted refuge in Ireland and remain in direct provision. There are 6,000 of those people, including 1,500 children, because there is no onward pathway for them.
Aoife Keane Baines from Kildare has been hosting a family for a year now and explains why she decided to do it.
I think I was sitting in the rotunda doing my second baby, and those awful pictures started coming out when Russia bombed one of the maternity hospitals, and I was just sitting there looking at the wall and thinking, oh my God, that could be me. We have a granny flat that we don't use in our property, so we decided, look, as soon as the baby is here and settled in, we're going to put the house up to be able to host some Ukrainian refugees.
While it is good news today, the Temporary Protection Directive expires in March 2025 and the government are being urged to make plans now. Sheila Nocton at Leinster House.
Donegal County Council is seeking proposals from developers to deliver turnkey social housing units to help meet the council's social housing need. The council is inviting interested parties, including landowners and developers and others, to a series of upcoming information clinics. Individual meetings can also be facilitated by emailing housingcapital@donegalcoco.ie. More details are available on our website, highlandradio.com. The time's just gone 12 minutes past five. We'll go to a short break and we'll have all the latest in sport. It's 5:15. Oisin Kelly has all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. We start with Gaelic Games, and Donegal GAA have confirmed their method of dividing the €1 million donation from JP McManus. The county opted to divide this evenly among the 41 clubs, but this was met with dissatisfaction by Donegal LGFA at a recent monthly meeting. LGFA chairperson Joanne McKinney recently told the Irish Examiner, "The main issue is we didn't have any consultation with or direction from Croke Park or the GAA board. I suppose you could say the decision was made without any input from us, which is a little disappointing, because when you read the letter sent by JP McManus, it was to be equal on all fronts." In a statement released this afternoon, Donegal GAA say they thank the McManus family for their kind donation, and clarity was sought from the Ladies and Camogie boards if they were stand-alone clubs in the county. At a recent county committee meeting on January 10th, two proposals were put to delegates: to divide the money evenly amongst the 41 clubs, or to divide the money according to the activities of each club, which would have meant dividing the money by 81. County committee made a democratic decision to divide the money equally between the 41 clubs in the county, and the money has now been distributed. On to rugby. Gary Ringrose is out of Ireland's opening match of this year's Guinness Six Nations with a shoulder injury. The centre has returned home from their training camp, carrying a knock suffered with Leinster earlier this month. Lock Joe McCarthy and winger Calvin Nash will make their first competition starts against France on Friday night. Number 6 Peter O'Mahony will captain the side in Marseille. Head coach Andy Farrell has gone for a 6-2 split on the bench. Maximo Loku, meanwhile, will wear the number 9 shirt for France, with Antoine Dupont switching to 7s ahead of the upcoming Olympic Games. Loku had deputised for Dupont at the World Cup when the captain missed a game after sustaining a fractured cheekbone. Now, former Ireland captain Keith Wood says he gives the edge to France to win the Six Nations overall, but it will be close.
I think Ireland have a chance, but I put it down to France, because France are at home for a couple of their big games. So I think it's France's if I was betting, but I think it'll be very close and not a grand slam.
To football, Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola believes the only way to build momentum is to be completely focused on the next game. They put together a 12-match winning run last season, which helped them retain the Premier League title for a third successive campaign. Victory over Burnley in the top flight this evening would be their fourth in a row, but Guardiola says it's important that they don't get careless.
Always when we met in the past a good run is because we were thinking and our thoughts, it was just one game at a time. And it's just Burnley, Burnley and Burnley. The rest, I don't care.
Kick-off at the Etihad Stadium is at 7:30, while at the same time, Tottenham host Brentford. Spurs could end the night in the Premier League's top four with victory. Boss Ange Postecoglou understands the supporters are desperate for success. They've been knocked out of the domestic cup competitions and have no European football this season. But the Australian believes that they are heading in the right direction.
I really believe we have made progress, both, you know, with the squad and with our football. The results, you know, sort of slowly inching that way as well.
Then at 8:15, Liverpool welcomed Chelsea to Anfield as the pool looked to re-establish a five-point lead at the top of the table. Jurgen Klopp is, of course, leaving Anfield at the end of the current campaign. Chelsea are looking to push themselves further into the top half of the table, and their boss Mauricio Pochettino isn't interested in the sentiment surrounding Klopp's departure.
Every time that they're going to play in Anfield is going to be a party, you know, for to give him all the love that they feel, no, the fans feel for him. But we are thinking to go there and to win the game. Sorry, we don't want to be involved or part of the celebration.
Derry City will continue their pre-season campaign this evening. The Candy Stripes take on Institute in the annual Billy McKee Memorial match at the Brandywell. That one starts at 7:45. On the golf front, the PGA Tour has announced a new commercial venture, which means 200 players will be able to take equity in the company. It's seen as the first step towards outside investment in the game, which could eventually see a link-up with the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia, who run LIV Golf. The first investment comes from Liverpool owners Fenway Sports Group, who are putting up $3 billion. Adrian Monarch and Lucas Herbert, meanwhile, have joined LIV ahead of its season opener in Mexico this weekend. Finally, in Formula One, Andretti's bid to join Formula One for next season has been rejected. The US-based outfit had hoped to be in the grid as the 11th team and a link-up with General Motors, but that will now not happen. And that's it from the Sports Desk for today. Donna Marie will have more tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Thanks, Oisin. Donegal-based Minister Charlie McConnellogue says ensuring there are enough builders to see the remediation of homes under the defective concrete block scheme must be a priority. He says there must be encouragement to bring construction workers to Donegal, where there will be a strong demand. It's believed there many have not applied for the scheme thus far because of rising construction costs caused by the shortage of labourers. The Agriculture Minister says the nature of spaced payments in the new scheme should help this.
The key focus now going forward is making sure we have enough builders in the county to be able to deliver, because we have about 200 people now who have their grant approval and are ready to get to site. And going forward, it will be the capacity of the construction sector in the county which will decide the number of homes done, not any delays which had been seen in the last couple of years in relation to the scheme. There's going to be really good work in our county over the years to come, and our county very much needs them to make sure that we can get houses rebuilt.
And that shortage of construction workers potentially is going to push prices up even more. Now, we're being told already that there are potentially thousands of people that aren't even applying for the scheme because the gap between what they have to provide from their own resources and what's available immediately from government is just too great.
Well, under the new scheme now, there will be space payments every few weeks for builders and homeowners who are actually working in the scheme, and that will now work really well. The old scheme is now gone, and all of the problems that were with it in this new scheme, and the council have put a very strong team in place to make sure that it will work effectively and that payments will actually issue in a timely fashion as bills happen. Also then, the rates of construction have been set according to independent charter surveyors as to the cost of building. And the experience in terms of what's happening on the ground at the moment with the 50 or so properties which are under construction is that in the vast majority of those instances, they are being built for the rate, and it can be profitably done for the rate that is there. And indeed, those 50 homeowners who've completed are able to apply to get the rest of the funding in terms of the cost of their build recouped them as well now under the new scheme.
A Donegal deputy has told the Dáil the coordination of services for those seeking protection in Ireland is shambolic. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin highlighted the case of Sessionneil National School, which took in a number of children from refugee families who arrived in the area a few weeks after the school term started. However, the school was denied €30,000 in extra capitation funding because the deadline had expired. Referring to recent protests, he said Irish people aren't racist but have had their goodwill thrown back at them and are now asking legitimate questions. Deputy McLaughlin added that he believes the Minister for Integration, Roderick O'Gorman, was let down and abandoned by his government colleagues.
You see, I don't blame Minister Roderick O'Gorman, because Minister Roderick O'Gorman was abandoned by the rest of the cabinet. He was left on his own with this problem. So you didn't have a coordinated approach with housing, with health, with education, social services and so on. None of that happened. It was all left to Roderick O'Gorman and his officials, and they were left in crisis mode finding buildings. But that was a complete disservice. Our county, and I say this, Donegal has taken more per head of capita than any other county in the state in terms of refugees and asylum seekers. And I will not stand for one moment for anybody questioning the calibre or decency of our people when they ask genuine questions like the people in that school. There are people in communities asking legitimate questions about, I cannot get an appointment with my GP. I just can't get one. How are we going to sustain this extra responsibility? You know, our school, we can't get people into the national school for places. There's a queue. Was there any research done about this? None. What was happening was that TDs and counsellors were finding out, in some instances, after asylum seekers were placed in temporary emergency centres, after, or in other instances, days before. This left us at the front line of the outrage in our communities, absolute outrage, because of how people were treated. How people were treated, their goodwill was taken for granted again and again and again. So the government have to accept that their handling of this has been shambolic.
Looking now to weather, dry tonight with long clear spells and light to moderate westerly breezes. Lowest temperatures of -1 to +4 degrees with some frost and ice possible. Dry and chilly tomorrow with hazy sunshine. To conclude this evening's news, Donegal County Council's Fisheries Committee was told this morning that the loss of a fishing vessel off the Donegal coast will have devastating economic consequences for the owner and crew. Post-Brexit checks on goods moving between Britain and Northern Ireland are to end. And finally, Deputy Thomas Pringle said that Gardaí and court resources are wasted on charges of personal drug possession. That's all for now from Highland Radio News, back again at 6 o'clock. The obituary notices this Wednesday evening, January 31st. The death has occurred of Bridget McLaughlin, neighbour, Old Post Office, Linsford and 6 Cranaview Cockhill Road, Buncrana. Bridget will be reposing at McLaughlin's funeral home, Lower Main Street, Buncrana, tomorrow from 3 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Removal tomorrow evening at 7:15 to arrive at Star of the Sea Church, Desert Tegney, for 7:30 for Mass in honour of St Bridget at 8 p.m. Funeral Mass will be celebrated there at 11 a.m. on Friday, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to Buncrana Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund care of any family member. The death has occurred of John McFadden, Ballybowes Falcarra. Remains reposing at Sweeney's funeral home, Ballybowes Falcarra, this evening from 6 p.m. with rosary at 8 p.m. And again tomorrow from 4:30 until 6:30 p.m. with removal to St Finian's Church, Falcarra, to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Friday at 11 a.m. with burial in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on MCN.live or Sweeney Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of James Jim Patrick Gallagher of Fallard Calhame, Letterkenny, and originally from Corpoint, Lettermacaward, reposing at the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, from 2:30 until 4:30 tomorrow, concluding with removal to St Ewan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for reception prayers at 5 p.m. Reposing overnight for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass on Friday, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv, followed by burial in Kilvreagh Cemetery, Letchermack Ward. Family, flowers only, please. Donations, if wished, to the Emergency Services Letterkenny, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Madge McMonigal, née McFadden, Upper Derryreel, Fylcarra. Her remains will be reposing at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, on Friday at 11 a.m. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. Family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu if desired to Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or James Harkin Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Aisling Little, née McShane, Sean Craigan Stranorler, formerly of Kilcar. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:15 for 11 a.m. funeral mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorler. Burial afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 12 noon and on the morning of the funeral. Rosary each night at 9 p.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Breast Care Centre Northwest, care of any family member or Terence McClintock Funeral Director. Funeral Mass will be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Mary Doherty, née Patton, Upper Dromore, Letterkenny. Mary's remains will repose at her late residence today and tomorrow from 2 p.m. until 10 p.m. Celebration of Mary's life and prayers will take place at the family home at 11:30 on Friday, followed by interment in Conwall Cemetery, Letterkenny. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the palliative care team, Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Plunkett Barr, Binion Road, Clonmany. His remains will repose at his home with all welcome today until 7 p.m. Funeral from his home tomorrow at 10:45 a.m. Going to St Michael's Church, Urris, for Requiem Mass at 11:30. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private, please, before the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Carndonagh Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member or Comiskey Funeral Directors. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.